You are listening to Real World News.
Interview with environmental activist David Kuriva, Friends of the Earth Uganda. If you want to protect biodiversity, local communities and indigenous people should be in charge. The use of traditional knowledge should be promoted as opposed to genetically modified organisms, said activist David Kuriva, Friends of the Earth Uganda. Real World Radio interviewed environmental activists after the end of the 11th Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity held in Hyderabad, India, from October the 8th to the 19th.
Yes, my opinion was when we looked at the discussions, the way they went, it's like the nature, when we look at the geoengineering, it looks at promoting kind of the fallen alien species that eventually kill the, our parent indigenous species that we have already used. So that was one. Two is that very many conventions have not been actually domesticated, and when you look at what the Nagoya Protocol, if you look at the Aichi targets, all those have not been met up to now. So I think if we are to conserve and if we are to look at biodiversity conservation, we must, one, look at the respect for indigenous communities who have protected these territories for quite some time. And two, if you look at the way the corporates are capturing the way the resources that indigenous peoples have actually lived with, raised and depended on, it is something that if we are looking at conservation of biodiversity, local communities or indigenous communities must be taken on the forefront. And the use of indigenous knowledge must also be promoted as opposed to geoengineering and these other alien species that are being introduced in form of increased production, in form of increasing sea cover, bioenergy trade, and all those sorts of activities that are promoted by corporate.
Okay, David, so you would say that the interests of local communities and indigenous peoples are not taken into account in this kind of conferences, especially in this one in Hyderabad. You are concerned about that?
Yeah. At the international level, it seems as if they capture it. But when it comes to the respective countries, for example, in Uganda and other countries, these suggestions are not taken into consideration. Take an example of Uganda where oil palm has been promoted. Indigenous communities have lost land. Why? If it is an element that is captured at the international level, why can't it be domesticated so that now it is implemented by the party countries? Party countries at the international level seem to be interested in the interests of communities, but when it comes down here, interests are suppressed.
Okay, David, and would you say that it is a consequence of the corporate capture of the UN spaces?
Exactly. Even when you look at the representation of the people who come to talk about issues that concern local communities compared to corporates, it is space for corporates to discuss. For example, look at how many of the indigenous communities or Africa organization was meeting. Look at the representatives from Uganda, for example. If you look at the indigenous communities that were able to get chance to air out some of those issues, the ones that affected, how many were there? It is a platform for the corporates to discuss issues that actually benefit them.
Okay, David. We would like to know a bit more about the forest situation in your country, in Uganda. What are the most important threats that the forests are facing today? What are your most important concerns? What's happening about forests in your country, David?
One of the things that are threatening forests in Uganda is oil palm. Oil palm, promotion of oil palm for agrofuels and cooking oil is a problem. That is one. If you look at the forest cover and the rate at which oil palm is being promoted, it is alarming. Two, the promotion of plantations. Plantations are on the increase. Plantations of pine, plantations of eucalyptus for bioenergy, by economy. So bioeconomy is one of the threats to forests and also oil palm. And actually, when you look at the investors here in Uganda, investors have a right to kind of choose any land kind of any land type, despite regardless of the ecological importance. And it is investors that have found themselves in wetlands, that have encroached on forests, and even when you look at the pen for ethanol production, you know, if you have been following kind of stories in Uganda, we kind of had the campaign and the demonstration against Madeira wanted to give away and growing, and that's for ethanol and sugar. So it is largely investment, pine, and oil palm.
Okay, David, and what's happening with the local communities there? Is the same situation that you were denouncing about what happens in the COP, in the UN spaces? Indigenous peoples, local communities are being threatened by these kind of projects?
Yeah, they are not even consulted. You know, prior informed consent is one of the issues that should be taken as a priority. But communities simply see projects coming without actually being informed. Even if they are informed, it at times becomes a problem because for some of the gazetted forests, they are held in trust for the people. And the people don't have absolute ownership. So what happens is that they come and take this heritage because they don't have any tenure. They don't own them, they don't have titles to those places, and eventually if you look at the benefits of things that have been getting from them, they lose them simply because they don't kind of have absolute ownership. So it goes back to tenure. Some of these resources that are held in trust for the people, it is the government that always takes control. And eventually when the government gives them away, communities end up, you know, losing access and losing all the benefits that they have been getting from these forests. So these projects do not, in most cases, consult communities before they are implemented.
Okay, David. And what's happening with the reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation mechanism in your country? Do you have any project of that there?
Yes, now Uganda has reached a level where its readiness proposal plan was approved. And this was June 2011. We are supposed now to be preparing the national strategy. But because of even corruption in our country, is that formerly the people that were led the process, which was National Forestry Authority, now the process was taken up by Forestry Sector Support Department. So as far as the road implementation is concerned, the RPP was approved, and we are now towards kind of coming up with a national strategy.
Okay, David. And just to finish, what could you say to us about the different ways that local communities, indigenous peoples, forest peoples use to maintain their forests, to maintain their territories, to take care of them, to avoid management of the forest that could cause climate change? I know we know that local communities used to have traditional ways of working with their lands, with their forests, which are good for the environment, for the peoples. Could you say to us some of their mechanisms, some of the alternatives that they use, they traditionally have used to take care of their lands?
One of the important things is that when you look at traditional communities, it is not all about timber, but even there are non-timber forest products that these communities used to get from these forests. And in that regard, communities getting timber, they have gone an extra mile of doing apiculture, and that is one strategy that would actually, I mean, conserve the forest. You're talking about intercropping, you're picking dead wood. So communities, they use it minimally compared to massive destruction. You see? So the best way probably can protect these forests is if you're looking at non-timber forest products, those are kind of benefits that communities get from these forests. And through that, they earn income, they survive, and in the long run, the forest survives, climate change is addressed, and life continues.
Okay, David. Would you like to add something? Would you like to say something that maybe I didn't ask you about and you think that it's important to mention?
Yeah, I think how can we kind of synergize in our campaigns like we are doing now? How can we have a campaign on ground? Those ends and things are happening here. And two, we have forces for policies that are likely to actually hinder our work. If you're talking about public order management deal, where more than three people are not supposed to be in talking unless they have permission from the RDC, from the LC, how can we address that in the near future so that now we have freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of gathering and sharing? How can we work together to ensure that we have those values and benefit and continue, you know, synergizing and having joint campaigns?
Okay, those were the words of David Kuriba, representative of Friends of the Earth Uganda. David, you have been very kind. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
You are listening to Real World News.